Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you also try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this."
The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census would be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinus was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in an inn.
The shepherds and the angels. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of nature or natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Christmas is a time of journeys. Now, I know that who has had the shortest journey, and that's Anne and Howard, who have just come across the car park. But what about the longest journey? What do we have representing long distance? Sam, Rebecca? Where? Near Manchester. Near Manchester. Lithuania. We have a winner. Some have come from Ipswich. Sam from London. Anyone else from a long distance? Birmingham. Distance and journeying. So much a part of the Christmas story too. Everyone in the Christmas story had a journey of their own. Zechariah and Elizabeth, who were the parents of John the Baptist, had a journey of discovery. He was struck dumb because he didn't believe in God's purposes. And she was found to be pregnant in her old age and hid in seclusion in case she was ridiculed. Because following God can sometimes include ridicule and difficulty and hardship. And she hid away and talked about her disgrace that she referred to because she was an older lady, pregnant, fulfilling God's purposes. Such was her journey. Gabriel, he travelled to earth. Now, don't get the idea that this angel was some sort of little fluffy thing with wings playing on a harp, sitting on a cloud. They were frightening visions. When we read about the angels in the New Testament story of the birth, they always say the same thing. Do not be afraid, because they were frightening to behold. Not like the angels sitting on the top of your tree. Mighty warriors in bright light. The shepherds out in the fields. Now the shepherds were outcasts. Their journey was to go into town on the angels' instructions. It was risky. They were outcasts, they were neglected, they were rejected by people in the town. They had a risky journey, such was theirs. And when they saw the angels and had to go into town, they would have been scared. They would have been worried about what they had to journey into. The wise men, they had their longest journey. And they had to follow the star. We don't know exactly how many there were and what age Jesus was when they arrived. It says that he was a little boy at that time. But their journey was perilous. And yet, when they came across Herod, he commanded them to come back to him and tell them about the Jesus that was to be born. And they didn't, because they knew that he was threatening the life of the little boy and the little children. But the toughest journey of all was probably Joseph and Mary. Heavily pregnant, they had to travel to Bethlehem because of the census that we heard about being read. How important is this virgin birth that we read about in Scripture? It's important because we remember that Jesus was sinless. He came to earth and he was born in poverty, not necessarily a stable, more likely to be a spare room in a house that had a first floor living and a ground floor that housed the animals. So Jesus was born in his community instead of an outcast. The way he led his life from then on, it's important to remember Jesus was born in poverty, not like the kings of their age, not like the kings of that time, but one that was born in poverty and in difficulty. And then we remember that Jesus himself traveled from heaven to earth. Can we imagine what that must have been like, to leave the comfort and glory of heaven to come and to be human? And Jesus' journey didn't stop there. We read that he fled to Egypt because of the slaughter of the innocents that followed. And they stayed there until it was safe. That is Herod's death. His whole life was one long journey, a journey to the cross, where he died for the sin and ugliness of the world. That's the Jesus that we follow, one who died for us and allowed us to know full forgiveness and full life. The Apostle John wrote of Jesus' words later that he said, "I have come to give life and life to the full." It's Jesus that can give that, no one else. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that at this time of Christmas that we would have safe journeys, not only the physical journeys that we've had and have, but also the journey of discovery, of learning more about you, learning to be followers of you, learning perhaps maybe for the first time to trust in you. And we pray, Lord, that we might do this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who gives us all means and all possibilities. So we pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.